Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Cadence.
Do you like media and entertainment that's badass?
Duh.
Do you like media and entertainment that's bitchin'?
Yeah.
And how about a little bonkers?
Hills, yeah, throw that in there.
Then I think you might like this thing called the Baywatch Rewatch.
Oh, God. Are you trying to promote the podcast I'm actively doing with you right now?
A little bit. Is it working?
Cool intro. All right. Well,
let's get started.
Let's get into it, guys.
So excited. We're like kids on Christmas morning.
We, like we said, millions of people wrote in their votes.
Our poll, it took us like probably 3 weeks to sort through the millions of votes.
So many votes, but we read each one and a lot of people kept saying Pacific Blue, Pacific Blue. And Cadence and I were like, the fuck is that? We've never seen it.
Right.
Or heard of it. Had you ever even heard of it?
No, never even heard of it.
So today we're watching it with you for the first time and it is...
It's a treasure.
I mean, it is like, we already know that we're going to, it's already a classic, a new favorite classic for us.
Almost choked to death.
This is true.
The first I witnessed five it. Minutes.
I witnessed it. It's true. She almost choked. Like, she almost did like those comical, like, spit out your coffee, like, over everything because it's so good.
I took a sip at just the wrong moment when the most bizarre comedic moment happened. So then I was like, don't spit. And then I was like trying to hold it in, but then it went up my nose and then I couldn't get it to go down my throat. And it was a whole thing.
Cadence says bizarre, comical. I think it was really riveting and motivational. And it was, I was clinging to the edge of my seat. That's
actually what I meant. I was so anxious about the action sequence that I couldn't, my body was like, how do we even function right now? I'm so worked up.
That's exactly how I felt.
That's what happened.
Another mimosa. Again, the show is called Pacific Blue. I think season one started.
We are starting with the pilot.
Was it 1996? And just to give just a very, very basic, rough outline, because this will probably be all you need to capture your interest. We did move from one elite team to another.
Right.
We went from elite lifeguards patrolling the beach to elite bike cops
patrolling the beach.
Patrolling the beach. Guys, we're gonna set the stage, and it's a big stage to set.
Oh, it's magnificent. It's a magnificent stage.
Why did we do that in the same voice? We even did the same thing with our lower lip. We're like, magnificent stage. What we're doing is we're meeting an elite team of biker cops. Like we said earlier, we're going from one elite team to the next. Out of the water, onto the bikes.
Yep.
Same short shorts, though. Lots of skin showing on these.
So much skin.
They wear as little of amount of clothes as they can. Colin has trouble talking. They wear as little clothes as they can, and no one's complaining about it.
They definitely are rocking those polos, though.
Oh, polos.
Those polos and short shorts.
I love polos tucked into really, really short shorts.
Me too. Or it's like a little bulgy all the way around.
Yeah, it's like JD like taught them how to dress.
JD's the costume designer.
He is.
He's JD. Like, guys, it's very hot if you wear something and you tuck it into your swim shorts.
JD loved tucking in his tank tops to his huge board shorts. And basically what's happening is we've got another ragtag team that's being built by Lieutenant Anthony
Palermo.
And he's like this older gentleman. He's been around. He's worked in homicide. He's worked in cromicide and shabomicide. And so he's been around the block and he basically created this team. And now they have a new facility in downtown Venice Beach that looks like an old burned down firehouse. I think that's what he said.
Right. So they renovated this firehouse and they set up their headquarters there. But this is also just as part of the stage setting. We realize that there's this very odd class warfare that's happening between the police officers.
You guys, it is house.
Because there's like the car police officers are like the classy real police officers.
It is Montague versus
Capulet. 100%. For sure. And then all of a sudden, everybody's looking down on these bike cops like they're not.
Yeah, like they like
and they call each
exist.
Other like four wheelers and two wheelers. And it's like there's jets and the sharks. They're snapping in the alleyways.
Yeah, it's a very weird tension that you get. And I said Capulets and Montagues, but if you guys have ever seen Romeo and Juliet, the 1994
96
with Romeo.
Possibly
with
Romeo, 98.
With Leonardo 96. DiCaprio and Claire Danes. Anyway, it's got that vibe, I like that crazy.
How many times I watched that.
Oh, Cadence used to, you guys, she used to make me watch it with her and cry every time. Like she at that, you were like 15, like you knew what true love was and you knew the pain of losing somebody. Not only losing somebody, but then suffering so much pain that you yourself died for that person. Yeah.
In my 15-year-old brain, it
Please
felt...
tell us what was going on in your 15-year-old brain, because all the time I'm looking over, like, side-eyeing her, like, bitch, why are you crying? What the hell? Like, this
you were,
doesn't
like, 11?
Mean... but I was hardcore.
You loved it. You had to hang out with me, and I got to show you all the cool stuff.
And I, like, pretended to cry, too. I was like, oh, this is so sad.
So sad. I really don't know. I think part of it was, like, just my super sensitive nature in general. That's just my personality. But also, like, I loved the idea of love. And there were people who I thought I had been in love with at that point. And so in my mind, I was like, you know, replacing me in the story. Looking back, it was like people that I was, quote, dating that, like, we never touched or went on a date. Like, we just talked on the phone whatever.
Technically, Romeo and Juliet, they were young and they met real quick and real fast and furious. So I kind of get it. But
oh, it was so intense. It was so intense.
I mean, it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
But when you're
so
like a
much.
Teenager, all of those emotions are like the biggest like version of those emotions. They're like so huge. Mm-hmm. It feels like everything's the most important thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I never really experienced that, but not for myself. I haven't felt anything in quite a while.
Emotions.
Zero emotions. Was born without them. Don't care.
I think I maybe got your share of the emotions.
I know. It's
I got
true.
Two shares
you
and
got
you
shares,
got none.
Because truly, I am like a cold ice brick when it comes to that stuff. Do
and
not care.
I am just the most tender.
But I did love that movie. We digress. Anyway, it's got that very vibe to it that like Venice like... two households. And it's like all these like videos of it. And so everyone's kind of got this unique style.
So we're going to meet some of the members of Anthony Palermo's team.
Walk through it right now. Or bike through. Bike through the team.
Let's
right
pedal
now.
Right through. So the first person we meet who is essentially like the quote main character, so
bad
to speak.
Boy.
And yes, he is a bad boy. His name is TC. TC Calloway, my friends. TC Calloway.
Anytime you have a like just two letters of
just
your name,
initials,
you
yeah,
know
for sure.
You're a badass.
Oh, yeah. When, A.C. Slater, perfect
JD.
Example. J.D., John Dory, yes, you're right.
Anytime.
So many times. Okay, so he's like the resident bad boy. Like he's kind of rebellious, but he's really good at his job. He loves the ladies.
His family is loaded, but they're all in finance.
Right.
Are you kidding
they're
me?
They're super wealthy, but you know what? He doesn't care about money.
I don't care about finances and marketing. I don't want to be the lawyer of the team. I want to be on my bike and I want to be catching people that are making sin.
Making sin? Who are making the sins.
I want to get those sinners.
So he is going to sort of guide us through because he starts out as, like I said, the main focus of the story. So through him, we come in contact with Corey McNamara. She is a brunette.
Sassy.
Her
specialty is carjackings. For some reason, she knows everything about a carjacking.
She comes from a family of cops and recently has separated from a boyfriend who just could not handle that she was a police officer.
Yeah,
he wanted her barefoot and pregnant.
We don't know that. We assume.
Well, is that what she said? There I go again, paying attention to the dialogue.
Makes sense. And she's like, are you kidding me? Barefoot and pregnant? I'm going to be on my bike. Two wheels and pregnant, maybe, but never bare feet.
And so
she's got a very like Michelle Rodriguez thing going on. Like she's very like,
she kind of does.
Beautiful
yeah.
And like strong and
a little
I like
bit
her.
Mysterious.
A little mysterious, a little bit hard. Then we have works
Victor.
With them. Victor del Toro.
And he's very handsome.
He's very handsome, but he's also kind of like smart-assy and kind of like funny. So that's your basic three main cops right now that we know, biker cops. And then we have Anthony, of course, who is part of
who's
it.
The
so that makes four, but he is the lieutenant. So we are going to go ahead and bike in and we're going to meet our new character.
Slowly
and
pedal.
And we're going to, you know, we're just going to figure out what she's going through.
You go from this like really stylized, just like super cool guys. Yeah. to this woman who's dressed as a milk carton.
Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a very special visitor we have here today from the police department. So come on, let's give a warm welcome to Officer Milk Carton.
And you're like,
what is happening?
Who's this? We haven't met her. So she's dressed as a milk carton and she's at a kindergarten.
Yes, she's at like an elementary school outside giving a presentation.
There's like all these five-year-olds being like,
are you a real cop?
Where's your gun? All this stuff.
And they're totally trolling her too. She's trying to give a safety presentation and they're like, even they are a part of the class warfare. They're like, are you even a real cop?
You have a gun? I'm like, dude,
can
seriously.
We just stop?
Well, also they put her in a giant milk carton. Why couldn't she just be holding a milk carton? I mean, it is a little...
You've obviously never worked for the PR department as a liaison.
The PR department for the police department as a liaison for milk. And so she's giving this speech. And again, the kids are trolling her and it's outside. But in the corner of her eye... Well, also you gain that she's just not feeling this. Basically.
Right. She's obviously like, humiliated. Not, yeah, like, why am I like, doing this?
I am a grown-ass woman. Why am I dressed as a milk carton being trolled by five-year-olds? So she looks over to the side and midday in the middle of the sun in a children's elementary
school.
Probably
behind the cafeteria.
These guys are doing a full drug deal.
Just full in the deal. Open.
Oh, and you guys know what the bad guys look like. Leather jacket, over the flannel, long greasy hair, and
chains.
Like, they just really did a good job.
And there's not even, like, they're not even trying to do the subtle version of, like, the handshake drug deal.
No,
they are full. They're, like, going through a file cabinet of drugs. And do you want some cocaine? Nope, that's not it.
They pick it up and they look at it in the light.
Meth, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I like the color of that. It's just the most obvious drug deal. And so she immediately,
it's like an open air market.
It's like the farmer's market for drugs.
It is.
Behind the elementary school.
Which is cool. Not behind, in the elementary school. You are giving it too much credit on the campus in the elementary school.
So she takes off running. She immediately is like, screw you guys. I'm going to show you what a real cop does. She takes off running. And there's this very funny, and it kind of sets the tone for the show, that this... There are comedic elements, but it doesn't take away from people's capabilities.
No, this show does not have any time for comedy.
So she, it's pretty comedic that she's chasing a drug dealer and she's wearing a milk carton.
That is true.
And so at the end, at the climax of the chase, she rips off the milk carton and she tackles him to the ground and she arrests him.
You're under arrest, dirtbag.
Which I think is a metaphor for her... going from PR to an officer is like ripping off the old and emerging.
Like a caterpillar.
From the new, like a caterpillar. Yeah.
So we see her in her precinct and she's like, why on earth did you make me the milk carton cop? It's embarrassing.
Held my mouth for 3 months now. Today was it. You know it. I know it. I'm being discriminated against because of the way I look. Now, hustling coffee for those meatheads out there was better than this community relations bowl, but I didn't leave the Navy and spend 3 months in the academy to spend my career teaching traffic safety to a bunch of...
My transfer.
Great. I'll take anything. Vice, motorcycle patrol, I'll be hooker bait. I don't care.
Bike patrol.
That's beach bunny duty. I've applied to Metro 6 times.
They have an opening. That's the deal. But if you want to stay in community relations, that's up to you. Who knows? Maybe you can work your way up to officer highball. And you can work those DUI seminars.
I'll take it.
Because we learned that she was an ex-Navy pilot and 2 years in special ops. So this girl knows what she's doing.
100%. And why she was made a milk carton?
Who knows? You know, I feel like someone needs to talk to HR. Someone needs to look at people's experience and resume.
I feel like this might be like a sexism situation.
Actually, she does say that. She goes, I'm discriminated by...
Discriminated,
huh?
Discriminated against.
Did it against because of the way I look, because she's like this beautiful blonde and it's just like no one thinks that she can do it,
right?
But I'm also like, that's greatly underusing your skills. You were in a special ops in the Navy. Like, I think she could be doing something other than a milk carton. That's the case.
Yes.
I'm so fired up about this.
But then here's the thing, like, it's almost like they want to punish her more. Like, she speaks up about it, and so because this is a four-wheeler precinct. And the lieutenant of the four-wheeler precinct who she's bitching to is like, oh, well, I'm going to get you an attitude adjustment. Just you wait. We'll see who takes who seriously. Uh-huh. And he assigns her to a new precinct, gives her the address. She walks into this old like firehouse, warehouse situation. And there's just bikes just hanging.
Carcasses of bikes. Wheels.
All over the
chains.
Walls.
You know that something's going on. There's a bike expert here for sure, or a bike murderer.
She's like, I don't think I'm in the right place. And then we meet our new favorite character, Elvis.
Welcome. And how may I be of some assistance to you, officer?
You can't be Lieutenant Palermo.
Oh, no, I can't. I am Elvis.
Elvis is dead.
I hate when people say that. Elvis is traditional name in my country for hundreds of years. That was stolen by your hillbilly, hip-swinging singer. I service all the bikes on bike patrol.
How wonderful for you.
You look like you could use a 19-incher.
Excuse me?
Do you have to be fitted for a bike? I think I have just the right thing for you.
His accent...
I love him.
...is unplaceable, and it would be offensive if it were placeable, but it's not. It's
guys,
just this bizarre made-up accent.
We're struggling so hard to figure out what they were trying to do with his character.
Right.
It really is, like... It's like, are they trying to do like an Indian accent, a Middle Eastern accent, a Russian, a German, a Brazilian, Portuguese? What are they trying to do?
You really don't know.
So
and he's
kudos
kind
for
of
him.
Like,
he committed to that role and made up that accent.
God, he went for it. And he's like a mixture of Quentin Tarantino and Robin Williams. Visually, if that gives you any.
That's actually a good thing because he does look like some Patch Adams. Like he's wearing those colorful clothes.
But we find out that as silly as he is. He's the bike whisperer.
He's a freaking bike whisperer.
And so he makes these like badass, personalized, just absolutely pumped up bikes for the team of two wheelers.
You need a double chain. You need a 10 speed. You need extra brakes. You need a thicker tire.
A thicker tire.
There. And so we talked about the precinct earlier, and that's where she has gone. It's this old warehouse that, again, this ragtag team apparently had to like pay for out of pocket. Because again.
Right. Because Lieutenant Anthony Palermo was his brainchild.
Tony Palermo.
Chris Kelly. So, what's with the firehouse?
The city was going to tear it down, so I grabbed it for the bike patrol.
But, like, the city didn't, even though they're still cops, you guys, they're still cops. For some reason, because they wanted to patrol on bikes, the city was like, well, no, now you have to make your own money. Now you have to buy your own building. Now you have to renovate your own space. So you do what you want.
So he's like, I found this space and we're redoing it. And you can see there's like desks in the middle of it and the bike carcasses.
It's empty.
No one's there. So, you know, that's no too well.
Anthony explains to her what this is. Like, oh, this is a two-wheeler precinct. This is a bike precinct. And she's like, are you kidding me? I already was doing a job that was below my station. I flew for the Navy and they're putting me on a bike.
How?
When do I get out pedaling after the bad guys? And he's like, oh, no.
Oh, bitch, slow down.
You need to break, no pun intended.
No. Oh, that was a good one. Elvis, make her a bike with extra brakes because bitch needs to calm down.
And you know what? He says, you can't get out. You can't pedal after bad guys without training. And you guys know how much training she needs?
I want you to understand that what we do here is one-on-one policing. Back to the concept of a beat cop. Get to know people on the street, develop relationships with them.
Yeah, sounds really cool.
We get our share of excitement.
Great. When can I start pedaling down the bad guys?
Right after you've had 3 days of training.
No offense, Lieutenant, but I flew for the Navy. I think I can handle your little rallies.
They're Schwinn's. And I'll let you know when you can handle them, Patrolman Kelly.
3 days.
3 days.
You guys, I had to train a lot longer to pour coffee for people. But I guess you can be a bike cop if you just need 3 days of training.
It's amazing because we see at this point, too, one of the greatest series that happens.
Oh, God, you guys are dying.
Which is the bike training montage.
And we have to play a clip. It's so incredible.
Imagine five cones in a row in a line, right?
Very spread apart, like maybe 10 feet apart.
And then you're on a bike. And you have to weave through those cones at a normal speed, not fast.
And you think that's challenging. Wait, at the end of those five cones spread 10 feet apart, there's a bigger cone where someone's ducking down behind it. Maybe Lieutenant Anthony, we don't know. And he jumps out at the very end and you have to brake. Shit, brake.
And she can't quite figure out how her brakes work. And so
her front wheel stops and she kind of flips up like
a
horse.
Yeah, the momentum of her body keeps moving and you're like, you're a Navy pilot and you cannot figure out a brake on a 10
speed. And it's so funny because she is struggling and like the montage is that classic music, but it's just the same footage of her doing the same thing over again, learning to brake. But eventually we know that she starts to get it. I'm so proud of Chris. I'm so proud of you, Chris. I was on the edge of my seat. Were you going to learn how to brake? Were you not? Was he going to jump out for the fourth time and scare you again?
Because he just sort of like, kind of like stands in front of her, like blocking her. Like, you can't go past me. You can't get past me.
Well, no, am I going to go left or right? And those are the decisions that you have to make if you're bike cop, which is we're sitting here judging this from our.
But we wouldn't know how to make that choice.
We wouldn't know how to make that choice. We would fall over on our bike. I would stop and then do that fall over thing.
Where you don't stabilize yourself with your leg.
And just like fall over. And I wouldn't make it on the team. So we're coming at it from a place of such a good series. We just don't understand.
I really hope that there's some sort of official ceremony after those 3 days.
Oh my gosh. Where Anthony Palermo gets a little bike trophy.
And look at the little certificate. And he's like, you're officially a two-wheeler now.
You did it, Chris.
You're one of us.
And she's just like crying because she's like, 3 days ago, I was a milk carton busting drugs in a kindergarten. And now, 3 days later, I'm a two-wheel bike cop.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Oh, we love
they had
you.
A real missed opportunity there.
All right, so after the graduation process, after the big ceremony.
The ceremony for one.
TC, who we mentioned earlier, is like kind of the main character of the group.
Right. Who's getting pressure from his family to join the family
buck.
Business.
He's super hot for the 90s. Hot now, but you know, he's 90s
dare
hot too.
You.
And he kind of comes in and he's like, I got something to say. I got to interrupt the ceremony.
To Anthony's office. And he needs guidance because, like, Anthony is the leader of the team. He's the Sean.
And TC's like, dude, look, my family's against this. They want me to be a financial advisor.
My girlfriend is not happy.
My girlfriend's not happy. She doesn't want me to be a two-wheeler anymore.
She thinks it's too dangerous.
It's too dangerous. And I just don't know what to do. And... Anthony, that's where you really learn to love him.
You ever think about leaving the force?
Every day.
Come on, Tony, you're a lifer.
Doesn't mean I don't think about it. But I always ask myself the same question. What would I rather be doing? And the same answer always comes back. Sail in the valley in a 25-foot teak sailboat.
Sounds great.
But since I have no money, no one to sail with, and no boat, I get dressed and I come here.
He's going for a motivational vibe.
Yeah, good motivational speech.
But what he ends up saying...
is he himself is miserable.
But he would fucking be hates this job.
Anything else but this job.
And if his life were even just a little bit different, he would be somewhere else with other people doing something different.
But it's not, so do the job, basically. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much, what it was. So TC's like, cool advice. Thank
you.
All
right, you. Well,
that
I'm gonna go
really
and,
helped me.
Great. Get back to this job that I love.
But I think that scene we learned that TC's just having a lot of problems with his family and his girlfriend.
The pressure, man.
The pressure's tough. And so he goes and meets up with Corey, who we talked about before.
Yeah.
She also is having problems with, she had problems with her family. Her boyfriend wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and she's a two-wheeler.
And so they start patrolling the beach, and they notice something. Again, in broad, the third crime so far we've seen in this episode alone.
Broad daylight.
Taking place in broad daylight in a group of people.
On a pier, actually. There's active people walking by.
Mm-hmm.
And TC gets off of his bike. And I don't want to get too gut into details.
There's
but
a man
we have
and
to
a
separate.
Woman.
We have to say how this scene is because it's bizarre. There's a man and a woman fighting. And TC pulls up literally right behind the man. Maybe 4 feet behind
they're
him. They're
not necessarily fighting. She's strung out. And she's like, please, please give me some drugs.
I'll make you feel good. Which is a classic line. We've all heard that before.
And so he spots this girl begging for drugs from this guy. And even though no drugs actually exchange hands, he hops off of his bike and just...
You know, what am I going to do?
Hey, I'll be with you in a minute, dude.
Sorry.
Look, Tina, baby, I am not going to hook you up unless you have the cash up front.
I need a fix, okay? I'll do anything you want. I'll make you feel so good.
That's enough. You're going to jail.
Politely steps between them and is like, hey, what's going on here? Drug bust? I'm going to arrest you now.
He steps between them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy's like, kind of ignores him. It's like, kind of steps to the side. And so he stands right behind it, watches it finish, watches her go crazy. Go ahead with your drug bust. And the guy eventually is like, I'm not going to give you any drugs. And the girl kind of runs away and the guy hops over the pier, jumps down. And this is where we get introduced to how incredible these people are.
Well, and especially TC. And we see, like, this is where his passion for the two-wheeling job comes
this
from.
This is why he's not leaving his girl.
He somehow elevates his bike from the ground of the pier to the handrail of the pier. Mm-hmm.
Good 4 feet.
Okay.
Good 4 feet.
So his whole bike and person.
He lifts up.
Elevates, gets on the handrail.
Handrail.
And then he's riding his bike on a 3-inch wide handrail on the pier instead of just riding down the pier and going around. He's just like looking at the guy.
Because the guy's taunting him. Yes. The guy's like, "You can't catch me, two-wheeler bike slum." And the guy's like,
two-wheeler bike slum.
And TC's like, "You want to make a bet?" He leaps off of the handrail all the way down, falls on the sand, catches the guy.
Yeah, it's magnificent.
I mean, I was like, whoa, we're really introduced to an elite team.
And you also realize that there's a reason that TC loves his job. Like, he really, really is good at it. He's got so many bike skills.
Yeah,
bike is essentially part of his body. It's like an organic thing happening.
Is that an appendage or a bike? That's what I was thinking, too. So he catches the guy. So he has Corey go and take this hoodlum, who actually really didn't do anything wrong, I guess.
They were just discussing the transaction.
He never did it, but I'm sure they found. Let's assume they found it. She takes him away, and TC is the girl that was begging for it and is kind of all strung out. She's like really out of it at this point.
Oh, she's nodding off big time. Oh,
big time. And this is where I think we need to have a conversation about like what is help and then what is an appropriate time. Because TC, it was the 90s, but he's just very like flirtatious with her and like grabbing her face.
Literally nodding off, almost unconscious.
She almost OD'd.
And she's going, "I really like you. I really like you.
I like you.
I like you too."
And he's like stroking her face, being like, "I really like you too." But
and I know it's supposed to be like a fatherly, like, oh, I think that's what it is supposed to be like.
It's supposed to be like a comforting figure who's been there to take care of you. God, but he crosses that line. The actor just crossed
the line. He's looking right in the eyes. "I like you too. Hey, guess what? I like you
and
too."
And you have a brief moment where you're like, is this going to be romantic?
Is he going to fall in love with this girl that's almost ODing under a bridge?
Yeah.
But it was just a weird, it was strange.
She passes out and he calls the EMTs to come grab her. And elsewhere on the pier, we meet a very, very stylish man who's wearing a black turtleneck, a brown tweed jacket.
Anytime you're, that's very classy on a 104 summer day.
It's very hot. They keep talking about how hot it is.
Oh my gosh. What if this is the hottest day of the summer and the Baywatch team?
It's in the same universe.
It's in the same universe and the Baywatch team is overwhelmed because it's the hottest day of the summer. Yes. That would be such a... Oh, they need to do crossover so hard.
They totally do. Let's go back in time and make it happen. I'd love it.
We see Mitch drive by.
That would be so good.
And Neely in her Porsche.
They really missed an opportunity. They could have done cross promotion like crazy.
Crazy.
We're in the wrong... We should have been in TV.
We know these writers are probably the same.
Yeah, there's a lot of... We talked about that earlier.
Lots of vibes that are going on here that are very Baywatch Hawaii right now.
Like the... Fit as many possible things as you can into one episode, as many subplots as possible.
This first episode is a roller coaster. It's just like nonstop stuff.
We meet new characters. We get the history of the precinct. We have carjackers, drug dealers.
Well, don't jump ahead. Don't give them the juicy.
Well, because
don't give them the juicy juice.
When you said don't give them the juicy, it just stopped me in my tracks because I'm not sure how comfortable I feel with that.
No, I don't want to bring it into season two. I want to leave the juicy toosy at home. Oh, why did I have to bring Tuss into it?
That's never going to leave. Tuss already haunts my dreams.
Tuss and Tussy.
Juicy toosy.
Juicy toosy.
I hate you so much.
A juicy wild toosy.
Let's make, remember the old Juicy Couture sweats?
Oh, do I remember? If we did that? Paris Hilton, I wanted to live in those bright pink velour tracksuits.
Man, I wanted so bad.
It was just epitome of wealth and like luxury and style.
The crotch of those pants were like an inch tall, and they were so low-rise.
I know, now that I think about that, full pubic hair. How would you even wear that? You're the very tip of your tussy showing. The very little tip.
Just a little mound.
Just a little mound of your tuss. Like, that's how crazy they were, but you couldn't
move.
Those.
If you made a sudden movement, everything's out.
Yeah.
Butt and front.
Yeah, butt and front.
Don't squat. Don't stand up too fast. Either way.
I was trying to think of a line from that SNL skit. My prune juice and my fruit. What did she say?
Oh, yes. Yes, I know what we're talking about. The alien abduction one. And it's all the things that Kate McKinnon uses to describe her vagina and her ass. Yes.
It's so funny.
I remember that. Yeah, so we're going to back on the strip or whatever in Venice. We see the stylish guy that we briefly spoke about earlier with the black turtleneck, hottest day of the year, brown tweed jacket. He's got a slick ponytail.
He's got a hot pony, you guys.
It is waxed so hard down.
It's like that girl who used Gorilla Glue on her hair.
Yes, did I was you just thinking that same
I know,
thing.
I just saw that. That I woman that used Gorilla Glue. Mm-hmm. She's like shampooed it like 100 times and can't get it out.
Mm-hmm. She's having a fundraiser because her hair is stuck. It's been like that for a month.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. That is wild. But also, don't use Gorilla Glue in your hair.
Yeah, I don't
that
know
shit bonds metal thinking together.
And Gorilla Glue, everybody's asking Gorilla Glue to do something about it, and they just released this statement that's like, yeah, we're real sorry, that sucks, but it says don't put it on your hair, but they want them to still pay for
it. I've had Gorilla Glue, like, rip off my skin because I'll get it on the tip of my fingers when I'm gluing something together, and it really rips off your skin.
It is no joke.
Anyway, his hair is slipped, like,
so
he's Gorilla Glued into his hair.
But then he has this itty-bitty little curly-cue, like, pigtail pony in the back.
It's almost like a rat tail or, like, a pony piggy tail. I don't know.
And he's, you think that he's like a mob sort of like gross figure because the way that he's
acting, mm-hmm. He's got that like finger guns, yes, like that whole thing.
So you're automatically thinking like, who's this douche?
The mayor of all of this place.
The mayor of this.
Tony, I've been looking all over for... Hey, Sheila, how the hell are you? How's every little thing, huh?
Excellent, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Oh, please call me Mickey. No, call me Mr. Mayor. This is official business. Tony, what's with this carjacker?
Because he has some concerns about crime in the area.
Obviously.
And so they're having this very mm-hmm. important meeting on the sidewalk.
Yep, in front of like a bodega. Mm-hmm. In front of like buy an umbrella for $2 type thing.
And then you see this beautiful cherry red BMW.
Oh, hot 1996.
The mayor convertible is like, I gotta go. He walks to his car, and then you see a guy go.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm gonna take your car now, thanks. And he carjacks the mayor, but here's the kicker.
Broad daylight, thousands of people around.
Fourth crime committed in broad daylight. So the carjacker drives the car away, and as it's driving, you get a glimpse of its license plate in the back, and it says,
Da Mayor.
D-A-M-A-Y-O-R.
Which is very... That is a political figure I want to lead my...
Very classy.
So he drives away, and obviously... Bike cops, got to go get him.
And the mayor is ticked because he's like, how they took my car?
Mayor, you do this to me.
Oh, dare,
like,
mayor.
Like, dare, yeah.
I thought you were saying may and like asking permission, and then I was confused. So the two bike cops go to, it's Chris Kelly and TC, are going to chase after the carjackers.
And are you kidding me? She just graduated. How is she going to do this? A car chase for the mayor's car, and she just graduated from two-wheeler school?
Yeah. No, that
I
was
hope
not
someone
smart.
Doesn't jump out behind a yellow cone.
I really hope. So they see the car peel off in the distance, and then they lose them because they're going so fast. And then a four-wheeler police car starts chasing them, and Chris is ticked. She's like,
you know, if we were in police cars like that, we might have caught him.
I'm going to say this once, Officer Kelly. As long as you're my partner, you can lose the attitude and treat this assignment with respect, or I'll personally see to it you're assigned radar duty on the Pacific Coast Highway. Now, are we clear on this?
Yes, sir.
Accepted. Let's go to work.
If we were in a police car, we'd be able to get there. I can't believe we're such chumps on this two-wheel bike.
And TC puts her in her place real quick. And again, we see this weird dynamic between the four. It's so strange. Everybody just really looks down on the bike cops. And yeah. We're still not clear why. But again, we weren't there. We don't know. And obviously, yeah, they can't catch the mayor's car because they're on their bike.
It doesn't matter, yeah, if it's a four-wheeler or a two-wheeler. At this point, they've got enough skills and maneuvering skills that they are clear out of the picture at this point.
This is gone in 60 seconds. They've been jacked from here to there. And so they get this little tingling, and the next day...
Corey McNamara and TC are out on their little cruise, their shift, and they see what?
The skeleton of the car, the frame of the car.
Yeah, the frame, yeah. And they're like...
Oh, he
did it. They checked the VIN number.
Oh, he did it. That's the mayor's car. He
and they know.
Stripped it for parts.
Mm-hmm. Listen to what... They explain it very well right here.
Yeah, so here.
All right. I may be a little dense here, but I don't get it.
It's really kind of simple. See the gunman jacks the car? Then he strips it down and he keeps all the parts for himself instead of selling them off.
Then he dumps the frame and waits for us to find it.
Exactly. When it goes unclaimed, it ends up in the police auction. He goes to the auction, buys back the frame for a couple $100, puts the entire car back together again because he's got all the missing parts in his chop shop.
But why go to all the trouble? I mean, why doesn't he just steal the car and sell it?
That's the genius of it. See, because when he buys back the frame, he gets clear title to the car. It's legally his to restore and sell to our friends here at Fast Freddy's Friendly Motors.
Pretty clever.
Thank you very much.
On the part of the thief.
So that's what we were trying to get around. Who knew that? That's like educational.
Yeah, if anybody wants to, a career in carjacking, there you go.
Because you kind of think about it, like the chop shop, like what was that? But I guess that, I wonder if people like really did that. But then it's like a used car lot and you're making like one-third the price. And all that effort, you got to pay your henchmen.
No, you're not making... You're missing the whole point.
No, he resells the car.
He doesn't resell the car.
That's where they find it.
It gives him the title free and clear. So he doesn't... A, it's not going to come up as stolen.
Yes.
He gets the title free and clear from the auction. And he can either then drive the BMW, it's his, and he paid $200 for a $30,000 car. Or at that point, because he has the title free and clear, he can resell it and make $20,000 on a $200 purchase.
I guess.
And then you don't have to worry about
the financial operations of like the henchmen and what it takes. And
well, that's because goes into it. This is how they make a living. They've got it figured out. You are not
well-oiled car machine. Yeah. Why is your face? I'm so dumb.
No, I was saying...
Caden's just made the most aggressive face into her microphone. Like, what the hell is Colin's deal? Like, why is he so stupid?
I had this moment where I was thinking... I was listening to what you were saying, and then I was thinking about what I was saying, and then I lost my train of thought because I was thinking about how we used to always question things in Baywatch Hawaii, and then we'd be like, you know what? We're not elite lifeguards. We wouldn't know.
Yeah, we just got to stop doing
that. I was thinking, like, we're not carjackers who are very good at their job, so we wouldn't know. That's why that's not our job.
Never been a carjacker, but I've been jacked in a car. Just kidding, I haven't.
Maybe. All along Venice Beach.
All along Venice Beach.
In a multiple string of jacks and cars.
The mayor, surprisingly. The case is closed as far as what happened to the mayor's car, but now there's one thing on their mind. Now they're going for the big bust. They're going for the big bust to find this chop shop.
Because they can, yeah, you can find the car, whatever, willy-nilly. But what we really need to do is get to the heart of the problem. So this is one of the most powerful sequences in the entire episode. Because all five of the bike patrol.
We got our newbie who just passed. Mm-hmm. We got Corey, Victor, TC, and Anthony.
And
Chris, who's the new one.
Yes, sorry. You said Victor, and
he hasn't been in a lot. He's just kind of back there.
But he's part of the team. So they all pull up, and it's like really powerful. They pull up all in a line,
big line,
and they pull up to the camera, and you look at them, and then they all like give a hand signal, and they divide,
disperse. It's like a special ops mission. He gives a little hand wave. They all go their separate way, and you're like, oh, I get it. Hunting for the prey. Lions and lionesses and the water buffalo are right in front of them.
So they all encircle the warehouse.
Which they think is the chop shop. They don't know for sure yet, but they are pretty sure that it's the chop shop.
I mean, it's going to be a massive mistake in a lawsuit if it's not the chop shop, because right? Their guns are drawn at this point.
And this is the best part, because TC and Corey are out front, and obviously it's a chop shop. There's like lots of noise and banging, and they're like, arrest, open up.
They're like, it's the police. Could you please open up? And they're outside.
They're outside, and they can hear the people working.
The tools are going. Saws are going. Hey, I'm working up.
Hey, we got to work. Oh, you better open up.
So all of a sudden, the guys are inside. They can't hear the police officers. Worth a darn. So all of a sudden, there's just a bunch of police officers in there with their guns drawn. And they're like, what?
Bike officers.
Yep. Two-wheelers. A bunch of two-wheelers. A bunch of two-wheeled trash.
Finally, he's like, screw this trying to yell over this. Breaks down the door. You're under arrest.
And you know what?
They all are ready to pounce.
They get them. And these two-wheelers have freaking proven themselves that they can take down an international crime ring. A Venice Beach national crime
international ring. International Venice Beach crime ring that steals cars and sells their parts and strips them. And like Caden said, that's where we do see the eliteness of this team. And that's when we're like, no shitting around. This is real.
It's kind of heart pumping action essentially at that point, because you see this really intense bust. But then what they really wrap up the show with is more of like pulling at the heartstrings.
Oh,
so they kind of bring you down.
Get your tissues ready,
you're
guys.
A little bit anxious because you've watched this intense scene, right? But then all of a sudden, TC gets a call over the radio.
Yeah, literally after he just mm-hmm. busted this guy. This shows how also how busy they are. Mm-hmm. They have got to multitask and switch gears real quick.
And they
no
work.
No pun intended. Yeah.
That was the good one.
That was a good again.
And so the voice of the radio is like,
Calloway.
We have a 918 jumper on the pier. Says she only wants to talk to TC, the bike guy.
We're on our way.
Yeah, so they go. So TC goes to the pier and he sees her balancing on the tippy top. She's high again. She's nodding off. And he's like,
Tina?
Hey, baby. You came to see me.
What are you doing up there, kiddo?
I'm going to take one small step for mankind.
You don't want to do that. Why don't we talk about it?
I got to end this crazy cycle. Come on. This is my 12th step, man.
Why don't you let me help you out? Get you into a program or something.
Methadone makes me sick.
And so while he's sweet-talking her, another one of the officers, I believe it's Victor, is slowly climbing up behind the woman. And then as she goes to jump, he grabs her ankles.
Snags them. Victor and TC snag her ankles. And keep in mind, you guys, she's at least 50
she's
feet
very
above them.
High.
And they are on the ground on their bikes. I bet they lifted up with their bikes.
Oh, yeah. They did the same thing where he jumped onto the rail.
Yeah. I bet they hovered up on their bikes. Got her.
Maybe they have like an engine in there. It's like a rocket engine.
Because she literally jumps and then you see their hands, but there's actual no fucking logic that can mm-hmm. ever be figured out.
Somehow
so
they're above
that.
Her All and sudden, grabbing their yes. ankles as she's jumping off. And then she just...
Dangles
logistically she would sort of slam into the side of the pier the way they have her ankles
right?
but
she just breaks her face slowly, her teeth fall out all the people how... are like oh good save that's why you should never have a two-wheeler do a four-wheeler's job
yes
and but it does touch at your heartstrings because you know people are struggling every day we don't know what they're going through
and you can see that the police can make these the two-wheelers can make these big massive intense mm-hmm. arrests but they mm-hmm. can also touch their constituents one by one the yeah. people in their community.
I think it just speaks that like everyone
connect
we
emotionally.
Interact with everyone we interact with all day you don't know the impact you
butterfly
are having
effect.
On that person's life.
That's basically what happens to me all day. Like everybody I interact with by the end of the day I just have so many missed calls because they're like
so many people are reaching
you
out
changed
to me.
My life.
Yeah.
Just seeing you changed my life.
Just actually watching
just
you.
Just making eye contact with you changed my life.
You do not make, I can't talk to anybody.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know what? That's a lie.
Cadence has a hard time making eye contact with anybody.
When you avoided my eye contact, you changed my life. When you pretended like I wasn't there, you changed my life.
I'm like half blind, so I stare people right in the eyes because it's just all
you
fuzzy
you stared
anyway.
Right in my eyes when you said, play and plug up my submarine or whatever the game that was.
Leaky submarine. That yes. was so gross. I hated myself when I said that, but it was a funny joke. And basically, that's kind of the end of the episode, but we do want to end on an even better note. We learn, well, let's say a couple days later, we don't know, maybe next day. They're sitting around. Sheila is talking to the new girl, Chris, who is now part of the team. She mm-hmm. proved herself. And someone chucks a volleyball at Chris's head and she grabs right. it. She's like, oh, and she throws it back. And Victor comes up and he's like,
did you ever play any volleyball?
Yeah, I was captain of the tailhook team. Why?
There's a guy.
Please tell me you play volleyball. And she's like, are you kidding?
Did you play volleyball?
I did say it kind of weird. And he's like, there is a God. So then we learn that they have a semi-regular lifeguards versus bike cop volleyball tournament. And guess who's there cheering them on? The freaking mayor.
Duh mayor
is there. I'm like, he's got nothing better to do but watch lifeguards and
well
bike
he failed
cops.
At getting the anti-crime lights installed, so he's got nothing but free time on his schedule.
So then the whole end of it is just them playing volleyball and having the best time. But and I love that the lifeguards came in and they have lifeguards versus bike cops.
Yeah, I feel like at the end, right, it's sort of supposed to signal that Chris is fully welcomed and her skills are necessary for the team.
Oh, you're right. It's a like a metaphor.
But it's
kinda.
So weird to me that the skills that bring her into the team as a necessary team member are volleyball skills and not the skills she spent as like a special ops agent in the Navy.
It's a really, you probably have a poll going on. Beat those lifeguards and make it's a like, couple hundred bucks.
She good enough? I don't get it.
But you're right. It's like her initiation into the group is mm-hmm. like, oh, we know you. And so far we're met with five really cool people that all have a different dynamic.
We've all gotten to know these
backgrounds,
characters.
You know, again, there's Anthony. He's kind of, we haven't really seen a lot of him. Oh, no, sorry. Anthony's the lieutenant. Yes. He's the Sean character.
Palermo.
He's a big character. Yeah, he's the older guy, a little bit in charge. We learned from that clip that we played that I guess he's miserable and hates his job, but...
Yeah, he'd rather be anywhere. Whatever.
Then we have Victor. He didn't really make a lot of appearances, but he's a smart, clever guy. I'm anxious to see what Victor has to
Del Toro.
I'm anxious to see where that guy goes. And then we have Corey.
Corey McNamara.
And she's the one that is the rough top brunette who's kind of the Michelle Rodriguez vibe. Mm-hmm. And you can say that she's had a real head on her shoulders.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
as opposed to a fake head on her shoulders. She's not, she doesn't have a balloon for a head.
Yeah. Good one. Such dad jokes. And then, of course, we have TC, who's just so hot.
Yeah. TC Calloway. Hot. And he's got a cool name. And he's constantly shiny.
A couple things to note. He's always shiny and he's always getting out of a shower.
Always.
I think he got out of a shower 6 times this episode.
Yeah, he's constantly showering.
But it's good. Good hygiene, I guess. Yeah. But he's always glistening. He also, we learned, side notes, he meditates at sunset.
He does Tai Chi.
Tai Chi, yes. Which is like sunset. A form of like, yes. Almost every night.
Right.
We did meet his brother, too, for a brief minute who came in.
Who tries to peer pressure him.
Yeah, solidifies the like, leave this rough, tough cop life. And everyone's treating him like... Literally, his girlfriend was like, I can't live like I'm straight out of college in a dorm. And I'm like, he's a police officer.
You have like a salary.
Yes, he has a salary.
Not like an unpaid intern.
Yes, I'm like, it's not like he's shotgunning beers at night and like whatever, like working at the movie shop, the DVD store.
At a Blockbuster.
At a Blockbuster. Because I'm thinking the 90s. This is 90s.
Yeah.
And then we have Chris, the new one, who's that bombshell blonde who just is trying to prove herself.
Yep.
And she is sassy, you guys.
She doesn't want to be there, but you know what? Little by little, they're chipping away at her, and she's realizing this is where I belong.
But you know who's the unsung character? Elvis.
Oh, Elvis. He's going to really bring us... I can tell. I can just sense he's going to bring us the laughs.
You know they're going to write some ridiculous stories about Elvis. There's going
to
be some...
Remember the music they used to play with JD and Jason together? It was like...
And they had really dumb banter. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I just wish we could figure out where he's from, little guy.
You know what? Maybe they'll clarify for us.
Maybe he's from Bikelandia. Bikela, Russia.
I come from the big lens.
Because it's like, yeah, he's a bike genius, which I'm anxious to see. What if they just build the most incredible bikes and it just goes into full...
What if they build a bike with 5 seats and the whole team gets to ride it once?
And levitate and they all use their special... It's like Power Rangers. They use their special power.
There's only one way for this series to go and it better end with that. It
better be that damn direction. So overall, it was pretty good. We were loving this episode. I mean, we were blown away by how great this was. This is so good.
We're very excited to experience something new and then to be able to share it with you.
And on top of that, it checks all of our lists off.
It checks all of our lists off.
Checks all of our boxes on our lists off. So yeah, we're ready to jump in. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for sticking it in.
Okay, bye.